Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello, Lake Life. Hello, weekend. Welcome to this week's podcast. The cabin opener was past weekend. The season is officially opened, Memorial Day weekend. I saw a lot of people on our lake. People took advantage of the nice weather. I am sure you made it out to Lakes Country also. Welcome to Lakes Country here. Now, this upcoming weekend, number 22, lots happening. I'll start off with some news and events, but please stay tuned. We have Kevin Ketter from the Ketter's Meat Market from Frézy in our interview today, and we will learn about traditional brats, smoking, the art of smoking, and learn about the history of this family-owned and the fourth generation being operated family business here in Frézy. They also were at our expo here earlier this year. So if you haven't had a chance to try their meat there at the expo in Fargo this past January, please, and you haven't known about them, check out in Frézy Ketter's Meat Market, really one of the best butchers in the area, I would say. So starting off with our news, good news, Otter Tail summer concerts are starting Tuesdays, and they're returning for the third year in a row. On the first and third Tuesday of the month from 6:30 to 8:30, local artists will perform at the City Park in Otter Tail, Minnesota. The talents this year are The Flashbacks, Chris Frost, Gospel Train, Doc and the Scrubs, Blue Wolf, Rockin' 60s, and Mike Newman. The concerts are hosted by the Otter Tail Business and Community Association. Last year, four sponsorships were awarded to local students from the money raised from that summer last year. The goal for summer 2017 is to raise and hand out even more scholarships. Really, really nice. I like it. I hope the weather will play with all the concerts, and you will find all details always on our event page at lakelifeweekend.com. Another nice little news update here in Detroit Lakes. The Detroit Lakes High School showcased student art, and that was a nice opportunity for the students and families to see what they have been creating from 9th grade through 12th grade. If you're interested to see, the pieces will now be on display at the public library in Detroit Lakes for about one more week for the public to review. So you're invited. We have actually a really cute little nice library here in Detroit Lakes if you ever are short on books. So just on a side note. There's a full article about that also on our website, shared from Detroit Lakes News. Events. We have the street fair. We actually have a lot coming up this weekend. We have the street fair coming up June 2nd, starts at 10 a.m., goes through June 3rd, 5 p.m., so a two-day event in downtown Detroit Lakes. This is the 17th annual street fair at the lakes in downtown Detroit Lakes, and will be held on the 2nd and 3rd, as said, this upcoming weekend. The fair features over 125 artists' booths and 14 different food vendors, a little beer garden, bingo, free entertainment, and much, much more. You can bring the entire family while you're here at the lakes, so check that out. Then, on the 3rd, there is the Minnesota Muskie Opener. Be sure to catch up on any new rules and regulations from the Minnesota DNR before heading out, please. And then on June 3rd, if you're in the Hawley area, there's a kiddie pedal tractor pull. That is June 3rd, 8:15 in the morning through 10 a.m. in the morning at Kazen Farms. And that is 4272 230th Street South in Hawley, but you'll find all the details on our website too. Kiddie pedal tractor pull registration begins at 8:15, and the tractor pull actually starts at 9 a.m. So have fun. Then again, live music at the Ridgewood Winery here on June 3rd, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Music with Ambiance, Steve, and the Gordon Duo. So more on our website also. What else do we have going on? There's quite a bit. There's a benefit horse show on June 4th from noon through 5 p.m. at the Hawley Rodeo Grounds. That's right on off Highway 10, I believe, there. The Benefit Horse Show in Hawley will begin at noon, so check out our website for that too. If you need directions, I think Google will tell you too. Otherwise, go lakelifeweekend.com. And we have a jackpot team roping on June 6th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. also at the Hawley Rodeo Grounds. You can get more information on the Hawley Rodeo Grounds website, or you can contact the City Hall of Hawley at 218-483-3331, and also find those details on lakelifeweekend.com. And then the first concert this year, as mentioned, for the Otter Tail Summer Series is June 6th, Tuesday, at 6:30 p.m. through 8:30 p.m. at the City Park of Otter Tail. The Flashback will perform at the City Park. They perform oldies, contemporary oldies, and some modern country. So enjoy the music. Go to our website for all further details and latest news. And I believe we already have school out in Minnesota, so we have lots of people visiting Lakes Country. Enjoy this weekend, and also find all the details to our podcast at lakelifeweekend.com. Don't forget the sun lotion, please, for the little ones and for yourself. And now stay tuned for Kevin Ketter in the interview about Ketter's Meat Market in Fraser. Thank you again for tuning in. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I'm here in Perham with Kevin Ketter, speaking about the Ketter's Butcher Block from Fraser. And welcome, Kevin.
Well, good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. And the audience knows, Kevin, that I live on Lake Severn, and my son Harry and I, we visit you, I think, almost every Saturday for a couple of years now.
That's true.
And that's how I got to approach you and invite you for this interview. We really like the beef sticks and all the meats. My dad, when he comes, my family, when my friends come from Germany, actually a lot of my friends, they always crave your meat. So I met Kevin as a butcher. You are. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about the family business. When was it founded?
My grandpa started it in 1925 and ran it for 20, 30 years or so. And then my dad bought it for a dollar at the time from grandpa and tore most of it down. And that was in the 60s, and he rebuilt most of what is there today. 1980, I bought a lot next door, and we moved the lockers over there and opened up the retail area to where what we have now at about five times the retail space that we had, you know, back in the 60s. So
I always see this, the locker, you just mentioned it. First of all, you and your brother own it,
yep,
currently?
Craig.
Craig,
mm-hmm.
And you own and operate it.
Yeah.
And the locker, what is that exactly? Because it's the stone wall.
Yeah, if you need freezer space, don't have a deep freezer or something, you can bring it in, and for so much a month you can rent a spot in there that locks up. And
oh, really?
Yeah. Used to be a lot of that around. Everybody's kind of phased that part out, but we've kept some of it.
So if I'm a hunter, for example, and I have deer, or like who needs that much beer, deer or meat storage?
Farmers and stuff, they'll have a beef butchered in the fall or something, and maybe don't have room for it all at home at the time, and store some of it there and take some home and then come back in and get it. And
interesting. So yeah. That is really a meat locker for private. I didn't know that. I was always wondering what that part is. So yeah. I can rent a little locker.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay. So let's back up your grandpa. What was his name?
Ed.
Ed Ketter, of course.
Yep.
He founded it in the 1925. Was he, did he resettle, or did his father come?
He was, they came from Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they were in the Parkes Prairie area.
Uh-huh.
He was actually one of seven brothers, and they all went into the meat business.
Really?
Every one of them either worked for somebody or had a shop. And
all under the name Ketter?
Yep.
There was a little, multiple destinations. Where, all in Minnesota?
Yeah, pretty much. Chicago and Long Prairie. More a little bit south, as where most of them were, Alexandria area.
What an interesting history. And then how many are still open? Are there more?
No, we're the only ones left open.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So Ed founded 1925. He was born in the U.S. already?
He was born here, yeah.
He was born in Minnesota. And your father, what was his name?
Kenny.
Kenny, okay. Yep. Kenny from the 60s through the 80s?
Yep.
And then he was a butcher by trade. Are there family recipes still?
Yep, still all the old German family recipes. And my dad is 80, going on 81, and he's there every day.
I see him,
sausage
yeah.
yet, you know. 4 in the morning a lot of times he's there making sausage. And
oh, he's involved?
Oh, yeah. He makes just about everything, the sausages and everything, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't know how involved he is.
Yep.
The recipes are still from your grandfather?
Yep.
Interesting. And tell us a little bit more about the product. What do you all offer? Sausage?
Oh, yeah, probably the one that was started us out was country-style sausage. It's an old German sausage. And since then, we've got many kinds of brats, like 25, 30 kinds of brats, and summer sausage, and wieners, and different stuff like that. Still make head cheese, and blood sausage, liver sausage, all that old German stuff.
I had I think I told your daughter once before, and I'm sorry, I'm always critiquing. The liver sausage is good. It's a little dry. I think we need to add more grease.
Yeah.
No, seriously, but anyways, I share with you while I have you here. I want to try that because we have a little bit more
pate.
Yeah, you
stuff.
Can spread it better. Yeah. He is very crumble, and I don't know. I'm definitely not a cook or chef or butcher, but I thought maybe grease will loosen that up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we try Dirk's.
Calories.
Yeah, always good. Yeah. German food, very greasy. But so you do blood sausage,
mm-hmm.
head cheese. Yeah, my dad mm-hmm. bought those things when he was here. This is all made in the back.
Yep. And one thing we're really known for yet is our old-fashioned smokehouse. It's not one of them new computerized, fangled ones where you heat and cook and everything with maple wood. You know, it's maybe the last one in the state, my inspector tells me anyway. He keeps trying to talk us into a new
system,
a new smokehouse, you know.
No
but
way.
We're fighting him tooth and nail, you know. Fighting progress every way we can, you know, to keep the product
traditional.
The old way. Hopefully we'll be able to keep it up.
Oh, I'll help you if necessary. So tell me, like you have an old smoker and it's more hand operated and more natural.
Yeah.
Oh. I have no clue about smoking.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of an art, and that's why my dad is still there, you know, and good at it. It's an art. He's got to know how much wood to put on to get it to a certain temperature for so long, and when to pull the meat out and everything. It's more of an art than just pushing buttons on them new computers.
I believe it, and
yeah.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think one can taste it. That's why we get our beef sticks, but they're dried, right? The ones that I buy, they're not smoked, correct?
Yep, they're smoked too.
Oh, they're smoked
yep.
too? Okay.
And dried in the smokehouse.
Okay.
Yep.
And what is usually smoked? Those, the jerky?
Jerky sticks
yeah.
and the flat beef jerky and turkey jerky, yeah, they're all done in that smokehouse.
What is actually, tell me about smoking. What does it mean? Does it sweat? Like, what is the smoking process? You just...
Well, first you need to cure it with, a salt or some seasoning or something. And then, it goes in the smokehouse and actually cooks in there if you keep it in there long enough. You know, certain things got to be cooked, like your jerkies and stuff, where the brats don't per se have to be in there long enough to cook them and shrivel them up because people cook them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then just put a good, healthy smoke, wood smoke on them. And
you put the brats in there as well?
Yep.
For the taste?
Yep.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep, just about all our brats are smoked. They do make a fresh brat, too, that's not smoked, but 99% of our customers like the smoked ones, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we got home-cured bacon and stuff like that, too, that it was all done in that old-time smokehouse.
Yeah. No, I see bacon, the sausage, you have a lot, but you have all kinds. You have, tell us about the cuts, the process, because, I'm sorry, I'm really excited actually to learn a little bit. And
you get the whole beef in, and then you use every cut,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us about that. I don't know how many butchers are like that still there. Not many, yeah?
It's gotten easier over the years. A lot of stuff comes boxed up, you know, and then we cut it up and put it in a case as far as fresh cuts of meat and pork chops and stuff like that. With the inspection we have, we're not allowed to slaughter an animal and sell it over the counter.
Okay.
Farmers do that. You know, they'll bring in a beef and they'll say, well, I only need half of it, and they'll sell some to other people as quarters or halves. So we do quite a bit of that for lining. We can line up people with a farmer or something, you know, if they want to buy a half or a quarter of beef. And
but, like, the rib eye and all that, or, like, what is it, porterhouse, or what are some cuts, sirloin. Mm-hmm. These are special parts of the animal, right?
Yep.
These are special. So you get those, you cannot get a beef and cut that anymore?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Not with the inspection that we have.
Ah, okay. So there's a certain level?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Is it Minnesota beef that arrives?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So how far away, where is it coming from?
Oh, it's probably within 100 miles or so radius.
Okay, so we have local product in a very small local store.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of pride ourselves on aging that meat too, like they used to.
Yeah.
Because the more you age it, if you age it properly, the more tender it gets, more tastier it gets. You know, rather than saying, it's a nice fresh cut steak, you know. Well, we kind of like to say, well, it was cut today, you know, but we've aged it beforehand,
yeah.
you know, to make it tender. And
you know, I'm sorry, but like, I get it. I think it was a big hype now in New York City or something, or even in Paris, where they, yeah, it ages
yeah.
and doesn't even
for
get
months,
mold
yeah.
for months, and mm-hmm. there's even a mold cover around it.
That they do that there, and that's the way we used to do it, but we've kind of gotten away from
right?
that part of it now, but.
But
yep.
but it is
yep.
it is not harmful to the
mm-hmm.
it's actually kind of cheese is mold
yep.
too, like blue cheese that's
mm-hmm.
pure mold. So if you do it right, then you get the tenderness out of the steak.
Cut that mold off, that first cut, and then cut your steak off. And
so the longer it ages, professionally done, of course, we maybe should not try that at home.
Mm-hmm.
but no, yeah. But like if then it's more tender, because I must admit, your beef when I have my guests and I like barbecues, it's just really tender. It's just amazing. It just melts like butter. So it has to do with the aging.
Exactly. Yep.
That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating. But you have, I know you also have frozen. You have a whole bunch of, like you have buffalo. What is your most exotic beef that you can buy?
Yeah, probably buffalo is a. We used to sell elk and stuff like that too, but we've kind of gotten away from that. But
you have lamb?
No, we don't go into lamb too much. Quite a bit of turkey products, you know, because
okay.
it's turkey country.
Right.
Lots of different turkey products.
Right, you have turkey. What's with the lamb? Because in Germany, for example, we eat very seasonal. For example, for Easter, we always eat a lamb rack. Or like, I mean, you get lamb in certain restaurants in this area too. Also goose. We eat a lot of goose.
Mm.
We don't eat turkey actually too much, but we eat goose or duck.
Yeah.
We eat a lot of duck. I mean, maybe just my family, but we have to go usually. We have farmers markets, large ones, and I don't know if you need to pre-order them. No, they come with duck, but it's seasonal. Can I inquire? Could you get your hands on a duck or a goose?
Yep. Yeah, we sell a few, you know, there's not a big demand for them, but we usually have them on hand all the time.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Good, my mom is coming in 3 weeks.
Especially duck, not so much the goose, but we usually have some ducks.
Okay, I'm gonna have her buy.
Yeah.
Lamb, could one get a lamb rack? No?
It's a little tougher to get. Real seasonal, you know, in the fall,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, your chances of, I'm sure I can order it in, it's,
yeah. I'm just curious, yeah. I'm just curious to find out. And how many people work in a butcher? I see a lot of people always behind the counter and in the back. How many people does it take to operate your
during the majority of the year? I've got my two daughters, Brooke and Brittany, that run the front, and me and my brother Craig do a lot of the meat cutting and stuff, and Dad and my other brother Kyle are in the back making sausage. And then we've got, that's all family members. And we've got one butcher hired to do the slaughtering and stuff that's not a family member. And that's about it for the majority of the year until fall when we get busy, you know, slaughtering. And then into deer season, then we probably hire another four or five people.
Oh, really?
For a couple months. So, but as a rule, it's mostly family.
Really?
Most of the year.
So you just mentioned your two daughters, and they're more in the front. They're not hands-on too much?
Well, they run the retail part of it.
Okay.
And, they do all the slicing of the bacon and keeping the front looking good, and replenishing the stock that they sell. And
So it's a fourth-generation Ketter working in the shop?
Yep.
Are there intentions for them to take over at a point?
Yeah, I hope they do. Yeah, I think they will. They've been there nearly 20 years already, too, so you know, I'm sure that's their intention.
Oh, really? Since teenager years, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. But coming to product, I also know you have Wild Rice.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you... It's not a convenience store, but it's a specialty store a little
right.
bit.
Right, yep. My brother actually has the... Craig, he's got a Wild Rice company.
Oh, really?
And he buys it from the natives and has it parched and brings it in. But so that's where we get the rice from.
Oh, you have your own label?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, just some jellies and jams from local people that make stuff around. And we bring in buns and bread and stuff from a small-town bakery in Detroit Lakes. It does an excellent job, so we got...
So you got a lot of local product and still small bakery, not from
nope.
the truck.
Nope, yep, they're
I did
Main Street Bakery in Detroit Lakes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and I did pre-order that once. I had a little picnic, a family or like friends over, and I had to order them, and I remember, and it's a difference.
Yep.
And little jams, syrup.
Yep.
So a lot of handmade product.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think you also have fish.
Fish, you got pretty good assortment of seafood, yeah. Scallops and lobster and shrimp and fish and crayfish. And
And I know, and I tried it, I think you have smoked salmon, so you also improve the natural product, right? Like in the smoker again, correct?
Yep, right. Mm-hmm. We do whitefish and salmon on a regular basis.
Yeah, and it was pretty delicious.
Yeah.
And what's whitefish? Or what whitefish?
Yeah, that's...
Tilapia? No.
Yeah, it's local around here. It's... I'm not sure it's...
Oh, it's a Minnesota
it's,
fish?
It's oilier, yeah. It's Minnesota fish. It's oilier and stuff than a salmon. And more of a white meat, not a pink.
Yeah. No, I remember. Now I forgot the name, too. But I remember, I think your daughter telling me it's a Minnesota fish. So you get it from a fishery? So
yep.
it's
Leech Lake Fisheries.
Really?
Yep. Well, that's where our walleye comes from, too, Leech Lake.
Is it?
From the natives. You know, they got a plant up there, and so it's local.
Okay, so I get local Minnesota walleye, too.
Yep.
There's a lot to explore, a lot to find. What makes Frazee special to you? You grew up in Frazee.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think we just got talking. We're in Perham now. Looking back, Frazee once was the same size than Perham.
When I graduated, yeah, they're about same size population-wise, yeah.
And I think Virgus has the school in Frazee too, so it's a little bit challenging at times. Perham grew larger. What do you like most about the area? You live in Frazee, I assume,
yep.
still?
Probably just people in a small town living yet, you know, and hometownness. Everybody knows everybody. Sometimes that's not so good.
Yeah, but the small community.
Yeah.
who is the majority of your customers? They cannot only be Frasey. So yeah. They come from a lot of local, obviously, but who comes to your shop?
Yeah, we get a lot of people out of Fargo and North Dakota that are down to the lakes area, you know.
They stop by.
Yeah. Real good. We got a real good following from, well, with our venison processing and stuff, we do a, you know, probably a tri-state area. They come.
Really?
They have their deer cut up there and their sausage and brats and stuff made. So I would say.
How do they find you? Or how do they know?
Just word of mouth mainly. We don't do much advertising. We've been there that long, you know. It's just
tradition.
Yeah.
Grandpa always went there.
Yeah.
Really?
And then they tell their kids and their kids start coming and it's just kind of grown.
Revolving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. And you've, I mean, like you said, six people are involved. So, yeah, it's fascinating that a small family business still exists for so long. And do you think you're still growing?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Really? I'm fascinated.
Especially the retail part of it, you know, because we've added a lot more product and just done a little more upfront. And
I think you also have a barbecue or something, like a grill?
Yeah, we sell Louisiana pellet smoker grills.
Oh, yeah, okay. How is that going?
Pretty good. Yeah, that's a really good grill.
Is it?
No.
You like it?
I'm going to sell you one here.
Yeah. You know what? I should actually get one. Tell me about that. What is special about that thing?
Well, it's kind of like our smokehouse. It gives it everything you cook in there, that good home or that smoky hardwood smoke flavor. You know, you can cook pizzas in it, bake a cake in it, or just.
It's like an oven?
Yeah, it's got a control, digital control on it. You can keep everything at the right temperature. It smokes as it cooks, and it, I know the steaks and chops and everything are phenomenal.
Really?
On that smoker.
And it's little pellets, though.
Yep.
So it's not charcoal?
Nope.
So it's
all self-feeding. It just keeps feeding the pellets in when it calls for them. And
huh. How big is it?
They make different sizes, but like average size grill, like a gas grill.
And it's easy to operate.
Really simple. You just push the digital. If you want to cook at 350, push 350.
Like an oven.
Yeah.
Huh.
And you can cook slow without being there. I like to put on a tri-tip, and I'll put it on in the morning before I go to work. Tri-tip, and you know, get it seasoned up and stuff, and maybe put it at 225 degrees. And when I come home at night at 6 o'clock, it's been cooking all day long without me being there to watch it. And it's nice and black on top, you know, that old.
What is a tri-tip? I really don't know. What is it,
It's sort of like a brisket.
Okay.
But it's a little bit higher, better cut than that.
Okay.
But a lot of people do briskets, too, with them, you know. But
it's kind of like a slow cooker, then?
Yeah. You can cook real slow with them, and it just stays at constant temperature.
Huh.
You know, where a gas grill is a little harder to control, but.
Huh.
Yeah, it's excellent.
I think you're making a sale here.
Yeah.
I'm really going to try that out because I just told you I want to have a little barbecue station out here and have some fun. I think a Louisiana grill. I like the charcoal. I don't have a gas grill. I have one of those black charcoal grills. You know that you Weber, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it takes a while. I like the whole ceremony about it. Germany is big in barbecuing. I think like everybody's always barbecuing, and it's not about quick,
yeah.
Or it's more about the ceremony to me. You know, I like to stand around it, and I don't know, it's fun, but it's intriguing if you operate more guests and you have it. You know, in Louisiana, you can just have it set, and then you don't have to worry about burning anything. So
yeah, you can still stand around and have a good time while it's cooking.
Yeah, I know. I guess no. I'm intrigued. I will get one for here probably. Yeah. So, Frasey, I know we built a new flagship gas station. Do you think there's more traffic for that? Has that been helping Frasey a little bit?
I'm sure it has. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made a big improvement there.
Yep. Yeah, that's nice building there.
Yeah, it's right here. What else? What else do you do for fun in Lakes Country? Do you hunt?
Yeah, I do quite a bit of hunting, mostly out in Montana. I've been deer hunting here when I get time. It's kind of our busy season, but I don't do much fishing anymore. My dad, he fishes every chance he can get.
Yeah? Well, he deserves it now.
Yeah, exactly. I do a lot of farming and stuff on my spare time and do some ranching.
Okay.
Gotta raise some of them beef up.
Do you have your own beef?
Mm-hmm.
Also, okay, that was actually a question I had. So you raise your own beef too?
Yep.
Okay.
And I could sell you a quarter of that.
Okay.
That's my way out, way around that part, you know.
Ah, okay. Sure. Mm-hmm. I understand. I like that you have your traditional recipes yet, still from your grandfather. I like that a lot. I think you can taste the difference with the handmade. Have you been to Germany yet?
I have not. No.
You have not?
I'd like to.
Yeah, I think I should take you, or I should at least map out a little bit a destination trip. But do you know where your family is from in Germany by any chance? Well, you don't have to know, but.
Yeah, not exactly. I don't.
No, it's okay. We will find out.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you all about it. You know, maybe there's still. Do you know if there's other family still in butchering in Germany? Do you know?
I would sure guess there probably would be.
Probably, yeah. Yep. So if 7 siblings became butchers, they must have been in the family.
Must have been in the family.
Yeah.
Yep.
It would be interesting to find out, in fact, actually, I think. I would love to help doing that research. Well, I'm really a fan of your shop. It's very has mounts and it looks very rustic. I don't know. I can't get enough of it. And my son Harry, we just love it. Sometimes he wants to go in himself, order, and he pays by himself. I have to wait in the car. It's very family friendly. It's a nice little shop. So I can only recommend visiting. It's right downtown Frazee. Is that Front Street, Main Street?
Main Street.
Main Street is right. You won't miss it. Anything else you would like to add?
I think that covered it pretty good, Dirk.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming again. Pleasure. And see you soon.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com, and you have a wonderful weekend ahead.